effing crazy. VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, Dan Novak has a report on Mexico's newly elected president, who is set to become the country's first female president. Then, Ana Mateo presents this week's health and lifestyle report. Finally, we hear today's lesson of the day from Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins. But first,
election officials in Mexico say Claudia Sheinbaum will become the country's first female president. Sheinbaum won a large victory in Sunday's election after promising to continue the policies of outgoing leader Andrés Manuel López Obrador. In early results, Sheinbaum received between 58% and 61% of votes. It is the most support won by a candidate in a Mexican presidential election since the end of one-party rule in 2000. Sheinbaum thanked López Obrador in a speech she gave after the results became clear. She called him an exceptional, unique man who has transformed Mexico for the better. López Obrador doubled the minimum wage, reduced poverty, and oversaw a strengthening peso and low levels of unemployment. His popularity helped Sheinbaum to victory in the election. But experts believe Sheinbaum will find it difficult to follow in his footsteps. Her victory is a big change for Mexico, a country known for its masculine culture. Also, the country is home to the world's second biggest Roman Catholic population, which has supported traditional values and roles for women. In addition to that, Sheinbaum will be the first Jewish person to lead the country. Her main opponent, Xochitl Gálvez, admitted defeat after receiving 27 to 29% of the vote. The 61-year-old Sheinbaum will take office on October 1st. The politician is the first woman to win a general election in the United States, Mexico, or Canada. Mexico joins Latin American countries like Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama that all voted women to the highest office. Sheinbaum has promised to expand the welfare policies that helped make López Obrador popular and that aided her victory. However, Mexico now has a large budget deficit and low economic growth. Her policy goals will be helped by strong support in Congress. Early results show her ruling party called Morena and its allies might gain a supermajority in both houses of Congress. Mexico's high levels of violence will be one of her most immediate difficulties after she takes office. She has promised to improve security, but has given few details. The 2024 election was the most violent in Mexico's modern history. 38 candidates were murdered. Many experts say organized crime groups expanded and deepened their power during López Obrador's term. More people have been killed during López Obrador's term in office than during any other administration in Mexico's modern history. The number is over 185,000. Supporters say the rate has been slowly decreasing. Scheinbaum's training is in science. She has a doctoral degree in energy engineering. She was among the members of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which shared the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with former U.S. Vice President Al Gore. In 2023, Scheinbaum told the Associated Press, "I believe in science." Observers said that belief showed itself when Scheinbaum was mayor of Mexico City during the COVID-19 pandemic. The city of 9 million people did not follow what López Obrador did at the national level. While the federal government did not place importance on coronavirus testing, Mexico City expanded testing. Scheinbaum set limits on businesses' hours and capacity when the virus was rapidly spreading. López Obrador wanted to avoid any measures that would hurt the economy. She also publicly wore face coverings and urged social distancing while the president was still appearing in crowds. Scheinbaum has praised López Obrador and said little that the president has not said himself. She blamed what some call neoliberal economic policies for ensuring that millions of people remain poor. She promised a strong welfare state. She also praised Mexico's large state-owned oil company, Pemex, while also promising to push clean energy. Scheinbaum has rejected opposition claims that she would be a puppet of López Obrador. But she has promised to continue his policies, including those that target Mexico's poor. Jason Marzak is with the Atlantic Council's Adrian Arsht, Latin America Center. He said there is an expectation that she will continue the policies of López Obrador, but also become her own president at the same time. I'm Dan Novak.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. You may have heard of white noise being used to cover or hide background sounds. But now, white noise has some colorful competition. There is a growing interest around different kinds of noises. Pink noise, brown noise, and green noise make up a rainbow of calming sounds. And there is a growing interest in their theoretical effects on sleep, concentration, and relaxation. The science is new. There have only been a few small studies that look at the effects of the noises. But the lack of research has not stopped thousands of people from listening to hours of these noises on YouTube and on meditation apps. Before we look at pink noise, let's talk about the most common of colored noises, white. White noise is similar to static on a radio or television. Sound engineers describe it as having equal volume across all the frequencies that humans can hear. It gets its name from white light, which contains all the visible color wavelengths. However, the high frequencies of white noise can sound severe. Pink noise reduces the sound on those higher frequencies. It sounds lower in pitch, more like the natural sound of rain, or the ocean. Let's listen to an example of white noise. And this is an example of pink noise. Brown noise is even lower in pitch. This makes a pleasing sound. Pink and brown have standard definitions to audio experts. Other colored noises, such as green, are more recent creations, so their definitions are not as strict. Some research has found that white noise and pink noise may provide help for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. These people have difficulty staying on a task or finishing it. This claim comes from a review of limited ADHD studies. In theory, white and pink noises wake up the brain, said ADHD researcher Joel Nigg. He is with Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. He is a co-writer of the report, Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. Do white noise or pink noise help with task performance in youth with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or with elevated attention problems? It appeared in the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. The noise provides stimulation to the brain without providing information, and so it doesn't distract, Nigg said. White noise has been used to treat ringing or buzzing in the ear, called tinnitus. Scientists at Northwestern University in Illinois are studying how short pulses of pink noise can increase the slow brain waves of deep sleep. In small studies, these pink noise pulses have shown promise in improving memory and the relaxation response. Dr. Ronil Malkani is a professor of brain science at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. He said the frequency characteristics of pink noise are similar to brain wave frequencies we see in slow wave sleep because these are large, slow waves. If the research on pink noise at Northwestern University holds up under testing, it could lead to a medical device aimed at improving sleep or memory through pulses of pink noise. These pulses would be made to fit an individual. But many scientific questions remain unanswered, Malkani said. There's still a lot of work we have to do. If colored noises feel calming and help you focus, it makes sense to use them. But Nigg offers a few pieces of advice. He suggests keeping them at a quiet level to prevent hearing loss and to take plenty of breaks for the ears to rest. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
That was Ana Mateo with this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. She joins me now to talk more about the topic. Hi, Ana. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Ashley. As an audio producer, I love this topic, using sounds to help the body.
Yeah, so white noise is a common term, and people may know about white noise machines, devices that play static and can hide other noises.
That's right. White noise machines distract the brain, so they cover up noises that may bother us. Or they cover up noises we aren't meant to hear. For example, I worked at a therapist's office many years ago, and he would use a white noise machine outside of his office to hide private conversations. Some new parents use a white noise machine to help newborn babies sleep.
What can you tell us about pink noise and brown noise? What makes these noises different?
Pink noise has a lower volume than white noise, so it sounds like the natural sound of rain or the ocean. Brown noise sounds even lower in pitch. This gives it a really pleasing and soothing sound, like a deep rumbling. I used examples of each of the noises in my audio story. Here is an example of brown noise.
It does sound relaxing. How are people using these different colored noises?
In some studies, pink noise has been shown to help people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. People with this disorder have trouble focusing, so pink noise has been shown to help them stay on task. It also improves memory and relaxation. But Ashley, keep in mind that the science is very new, so researchers say more work needs to be done.
Well, thanks for your report, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on the show.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Ana. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Mateo.
My name is Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
In lesson 41 of the Let's Learn English series, Ana is going to receive a review of her work from her boss, Ms. Weaver. A work review often lets an employee know what they are doing well and what they could improve.
That means Ms. Weaver will give Ana some feedback. Andrew, I think feedback is an important word to know, especially as it relates to work or job performance.
I agree. And you can get feedback about almost any kind of thing you are working on. For example, if you write a paper for school, or if you write a song or draw a picture, another person can tell you what they think about your paper, song, or picture. When we give someone feedback, we usually point out what we think they have done well and some things we think they could change to make it better.
At the end of today's lesson, we're going to ask you to write us and tell us about advice or feedback you have received. And we'll also invite you to give advice about ways people can improve their English. But first, let's see what Ms. Weaver tells Anna.
Anna, hello.
Hello.
Sit down. As you know, at the start of a new year, we have a work review.
Yes, it's time for mine.
Yes. Anna, this chart shows the audience of the time traveling treehouse. If you look at it, you will see something bad. Your audience is going down, down, down.
Ms. Weaver, I think the chart is upside down. Here, let's flip that around. Now it's right side up.
If you look at this chart, you will see something good. Your audience is big.
Good.
But not big enough.
Not good.
I want to see these numbers go up and up and up.
It sounds like Ms. Weaver is very ambitious. That's spelled A-M-B-I-T-I-O-U-S. Ambitious means she has a strong desire to do more and see more improvement.
Yes, even after Anna flipped the chart around, Ms. Weaver said the audience numbers needed to increase more.
And let's talk about this word, flip. We can flip things around in a physical sense, but we also talk about flipping ideas around.
When you flip an idea around, that means you try to think about things in a different way or an opposite way.
Right. For example, many people might think that living in a big house would be better than living in a small house. But we can flip this idea around and say that living in a small house would be better because a small house costs less and there is less work to do to keep it clean, and perhaps for some other reasons.
We flip something over, like a piece of paper, or like flipping an egg over to cook it on both sides. And when we flip something around, that means we rotate or turn it the way Anna turned her chart.
And if something is upside down, we turn it to make it right side up.
And here's where we have another expression. We can talk about the world being turned upside down.
If your world has been turned upside down, that means there have been some very big changes in your life. And when we talk about the kind of changes that turn your world upside down, we usually refer to changes that are unexpected, unwanted, or difficult to deal with.
Now, let's return to Anna's work review. Ms. Weaver told Anna,
if you look at it, you will see something bad.
Ms. Weaver is saying something she is sure about. So, she uses the modal will before the verb see. But notice that the clause, you will see something bad, depends on something else happening first. It depends on a certain condition.
And that condition is expressed by the if clause.
If you look at it.
In this example, the verb in the if clause is in the simple present tense. We call the combination of an if clause in the simple present, followed by another clause with the modal will, the future real conditional.
A future real conditional just means if something happens, then something else will really happen in the future. Like in this example.
If we stay up all night, we will be tired the next day.
I'm Jill Robbins, and you're listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. You can find more examples and ways to practice the future real conditional by going to our website at learningenglish.voanews.com and downloading the lesson plan that comes with Lesson 41 of Let's Learn English.
We can use the real future conditional to give advice. For example, Jill can give people learning English advice like this.
If you learn more vocabulary, you will understand more English. And if you use a new word several times, you will be more likely to remember it.
Okay, listeners, now it's your turn. What advice can you give to help people learn English? Send us your answers using the future real conditional at learningenglish@voanews.com. And as Dr. Jill said earlier in today's lesson of the day, we'd also like you to tell us about a time that you received feedback. And be sure to tell us how the feedback was or was not helpful to you. Write to us at learningenglish@voanews.com.
Okay, before we go, we should check back on Anna's work review. Listen carefully. What does Anna notice about the posters that Ms. Weaver shows Anna?
I want to see these numbers go up and up and up.
How, Ms. Weaver?
I have something. Idea posters. Idea posters. You really ought to think seriously about them. I like this one. Read it, please.
If at first you succeed, you will be a success. Well, it's a cute cat.
Here's another one. I like it.
Working hard looks hard because it really is hard. I see. It's another cute cat.
This is my favorite.
Oh, teamwork works best with a team. A team of cats? Look at all those cats!
So, Anna, do you understand what I want?
Yes, Ms. Weaver, I understand.
Do you think Anna really understands what Ms. Weaver wants? What animal did Anna notice? And what do you think Anna will do next?
You can bet it's going to be silly. To find out, go to learningenglish@voanews.com and watch Lesson 41 of Let's Learn English. And remember that you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.